Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're tackling something, well, really fundamental, the building blocks of resilience.
That's right. And we're diving straight into the thinking of Ethan R. Esbach, author of Resilient Powerful Lessons for Turning Your Adversity into Extraordinary Success. We're focusing specifically on his initial lessons.
Exactly. And we know you want to get the core insights efficiently. So this deep dive, it's designed to pull out the absolute essence of Esbach's opening lesson.
Yeah, the goal is to give you a solid grasp of his foundational framework, how he thinks about turning challenges into triumphs, you know, without having to read the entire book immediately.
So our mission today is to really dissect those initial principles from Esbach. Think of it like getting the architect's blueprint for building a resilient mindset.
And we're drawing directly from the book, of course, but also some related briefing documents that outline his ideas.
Okay, let's get right to it then. Lesson one. Esbach really starts by framing resilience in the context of business, doesn't he?
He does. And what's really striking right off the bat is that he doesn't see resilience as some, like, fixed trait you either have or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
He calls it an influential tool, which implies it's something active, a set of strategies you can actually learn and use.
An influential tool. I like that. So it's about actively navigating the chaos of entrepreneurship.
Precisely. It's about having agency, not just sort of passively accepting things, especially when you hit those inevitable rough patches.
Right. The adversity, the setbacks, the things that just plain fail. So this tool helps you deal with that.
Yes. And it's not just about getting back up. Mm. He stresses that it empowers you to bounce back, learn from mistakes, and continue growing. That learning part seems crucial.
Learning and evolution. Like building immunity.
That's a great analogy. It's like your business's adaptive immune system. A challenge hits, you don't just survive it.
You analyze it.
Exactly. You figure out what went wrong, what the pathogen was, and then you build stronger defenses, better strategies for next time.
And in today's business world, things change so fast. Market trends, tech.
Oh, absolutely. Esbach highlights that. In this fast-paced world, he says, being able to pivot, adapt quickly. Mm. It's not just nice to have, it's essential. Resilience is that agility.
You know, something else that really jumped out at me was how he reframes setbacks. It's almost counterintuitive.
How so?
Well, instead of seeing them as, you know, failures, the end of the line, he talks about them as opportunities for learning and growth. It's a big mental shift.
It really is. And that prompts a good question for anyone listening. When you hit a setback, what's your first reaction? Is it self-criticism or is it, okay, what's the lesson here? What can I learn?
Esbach is definitely pushing for that second reaction.
He is. And he argues that this proactive learning, it's not just personal development stuff. He calls it a genuine competitive advantage.
Okay, hang on. A competitive advantage from failing? How does that work?
Well, think about it. In a tough market, lots of people face challenges. Esbach's point is that the ones who consistently persevere, who stay focused, but also adapt,
they stand out.
They set themselves apart, as he puts it. It's about that grit, that determination. He uses that word specifically. Determination is key to building an empire that can withstand the storms.
It's the long game mental fortitude.
Spot on. And it's not just about you, the leader. Esbach notes how this resilience ripples outwards.
Affecting your team, customers, stakeholders.
Yeah, exactly. He says a leader's resilience can inspire confidence in everyone around them. Seeing the leader stay steady under pressure, that builds trust, makes the business stand out boldly. It reinforces the whole vision.
So it's an internal strength with external impact. That makes a lot of sense. And he wraps this part up, connecting it all back to personal growth too.
Yeah, he's very clear on that. Resilience is crucial for personal growth and development alongside business success. They're not separate things in his view.
They feed each other.
Totally intertwined. Your business challenges help you grow personally, and your personal growth makes you better equipped for the business challenges.
Okay, so that's the why resilience is so vital, especially in business. But Esbach is also realistic, right? He acknowledges it's not easy. He talks about common challenges.
He does. And I appreciate that he just comes out and says, the entrepreneurial path can feel overwhelming. It validates that feeling a lot of people have.
Definitely. And he mentions different kinds of barriers.
Uh-huh. He starts with the internal barriers.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff we do to ourselves.
The inner critic. Self-doubt, fear of failure, all that fun stuff.
Exactly. He lists self-doubt, fear of failure, lack of motivation. But then crucially, he says, resilience is how you fight back. By cultivating resilience, you build self-belief and determination.
So resilience acts like a counterweight to those negative thoughts.
Precisely. And while lesson one doesn't list every external challenge, market crashes, competitor moves, whatever, it makes it clear they're part of the deal.
Right. They're just a given.
Yeah. And developing resilience is what helps you navigate those highs and lows, manage the stress, the uncertainty, and the self-doubt that external pressures can trigger.
So it's like an internal shield and a compass for the outside world. Okay, so if it's so important, how does SBOC suggest we actually go about developing a resilient mindset?
Good question. One key outcome he points to is increased mental toughness.
Mental toughness? Sounds intense. How's that different from just resilience?
It's related, but resilience is more about bouncing back after something happens. Mental toughness, as he describes it, is more about staying focused on your long-term goals and keeping a positive outlook while you're facing obstacles. The stamina, maybe.
Okay, the endurance to keep going even when it's hard. And resilience also changes how we view challenges themselves.
Absolutely. He says resilient people embrace challenges as opportunities for growth and learning. They're open to new experiences, willing to take risks, always looking for ways to improve.
It's a very proactive stance, not just reacting, but actively seeking growth within the difficulty.
Spot on. And this constant seeking, this openness, it leads to continuous growth, which then boosts confidence, self-awareness, even fulfillment, he argues.
Which creates a positive feedback loop, making you more resilient for the next challenge.
Exactly. It's why resilience isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving, especially when things get competitive.
So SBOC then breaks down resilience into its core parts, right? What are the key ingredients, according to him?
Yeah, he highlights a few crucial ones. First up, a positive attitude.
The classic glass half full.
Kind of, but maybe deeper. It's about actively focusing on the silver lining, looking for the growth opportunity even when things look bleak, reframing setbacks for personal development.
Okay, what's next?
The ability to adapt to change. He uses that great phrase, rolling with the punches. Just embracing change, learning from mistakes, not getting rigid when plans go awry.
Makes sense. What else?
Strong coping skills. This is about the practical stuff. Managing stress effectively, regulating your emotions under pressure, solving problems efficiently, keeping your balance, basically.
Crucial for well-being. And there was one more.
A robust support system. He touches on this, saying it's about surrounding yourself with positive, encouraging people. Your network.
People who have your back.
Yeah, who provide that sense of security and comfort, especially when you're doubting yourself. Mentors, friends, family, that trusted circle. He suggests he'll probably go deeper on this later, but it's a key component.
Okay, attitude, adaptability, coping skills, support. Got it. Now, he shifts gears slightly to talk about identifying obstacles as a step towards resilience. Why is that so important?
Well, you can't really overcome something if you don't know what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
He stresses examining your obstacles closely to figure out how to tackle them.
Requires some real honesty, I imagine.
Oh, definitely. Self-awareness and honesty, he says. And he admits, confronting this stuff, it may be uncomfortable.
Understatement of a year sometimes.
Probably. But he insists it's a necessary step toward resilience and success. You gotta face it.
And he differentiates between types of obstacles.
He does. External ones, things outside you, like financial limitations, societal expectations, maybe even where you live.
Okay, and internal.
That's the self-sabotage stuff again. Self-doubt, fear of failure, lack of motivation, understanding which helps you tailor your approach.
So how does he suggest we actually find these obstacles, especially the internal ones that can be sneaky?
Good point. He suggests a couple of things. First, reflecting on past experiences and patterns. Look back, where have you stumbled before? Are there recurring themes?
Recognizing your own patterns. Like, oh, I always freeze up when X happens.
Exactly that. And second, he strongly recommends seeking feedback from trusted people, friends, mentors, coaches.
Because we can't always see ourselves clearly.
Right. We all have blind spots. An outside perspective can be incredibly valuable, offer insights we'd miss.
So reflection and feedback. And what's his final word on obstacles once we've identified them?
It's that powerful reframe again. He says obstacles are not roadblocks, but opportunities for growth and transformation. Turns them from something purely negative into a potential catalyst.
Which loops right back to that idea of cultivating a positive attitude.
Precisely. That's another foundational piece he really hammers home. Focusing on the positive in every situation.
Again, not ignoring the bad, but choosing where you focus your energy.
Yeah. Looking for the growth, the learning, the potential good that can come out of it. It's about that deliberate reframing we talked about.
Taking a step back and asking, okay, how can this make me better?
Exactly. He explicitly says reframing setbacks as opportunities for personal development and self-improvement. Adversity as a forge, shaping you.
He also briefly mentions self-care in this first lesson, doesn't he?
He does. Practicing self-care and self-compassion, it's woven in as critical. Taking care of yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, it's not optional if you want to be resilient.
You can't pour from an empty cup, essentially.
Right. You need those internal resources to handle the tough stuff.
And then he connects resilience to setting goals. How does that fit?
He argues that setting clear and achievable goals gives you direction and motivation. Something concrete to aim for helps you push through difficulties.
Give you a why.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And actually, achieving those goals, even small ones, builds confidence and momentum. He suggests breaking big goals down using visualization.
Makes it less overwhelming.
Right. And the whole process reinforces a sense of control and capability. That feeling of being capable, that's essential for resilience, he says.
It creates that positive cycle. Achieve something small, feel more capable, tackle something bigger.
You got it.
Yeah.
And finally, linked to that, he talks about acknowledging progress, which sounds simple, but it's huge and often overlooked. He says, acknowledging and celebrating progress, no matter how small, is vital for building resilience and challenging those self-limiting beliefs.
Like actually stopping to say, hey, I did that.
Yes. It reinforces the positive actions, boosts self-esteem, and provides hard evidence against that negative inner voice that says you can't do it.
It shifts your focus from what went wrong to what went right.
Exactly. It fosters a more positive and empowered mindset, which just fuels your resilience even more for whatever comes next.
Okay, so let's try and wrap up the core of SBAC's lesson one. We've seen resilience isn't just passive toughness, it's an active, influential tool.
Uh-huh. It's about adapting, learning from absolutely everything, especially setbacks, and grounding it all in a fundamentally positive, growth-oriented attitude.
And it's not magic. It's a skill.
Definitely a skill. Something SBAC makes clear, you develop through conscious effort, understanding your obstacles, actively choosing that positive frame, practicing self-care, setting goals, and really importantly, acknowledging how far you've come.
This has been really insightful, breaking down those first steps. So for everyone listening, here's something to think about.
Yeah.
Consider the biggest challenge you're facing right now. Could be work, could be personal. Now, how might applying these initial ideas from SBAC, seeing resilience as your tool, focusing hard on the learning opportunity within the challenge, deliberately working on a positive perspective, how might that shift how you feel about that challenge or how you approach it?
That's a powerful question.
And maybe think, what's one small concrete thing you could do today, inspired by this, to start building that resilience muscle just a little bit more? That's your takeaway to ponder.
Great thought. Until our next deep dive, keep exploring, keep learning, and remember, building resilience, it's definitely a journey, not a final stop.